Today's daf is Erevin daf Nun Gimel. We begin the fifth parak of Maseches Erevin. We get a day or two of Agadata over here to ease us into the fifth parak of Maseches Erevin. We're going to have the Mishnah is going to be a halacha. It's going to discuss different structures outside a city that could extend the boundaries of the city for the sake of measuring the Tchum Shabbos. But then, in the context of analyzing the word that the Mishnah chooses to describe the city's extension, the Gemara is going to mention four machloksim between Rav and Shmuel on language related issues, whether a certain word is spelled a certain way, is pronounced a certain way. Rabbi Yochanan then shares many of his experiences while learning Torah for Aboshia Baribi, and the Gemara then describes various midos that led the Bnei Yehuda to be successful in learning, including their precision with language, and it gives a lot of examples of vague uses of language which were very difficult to understand. Rabbi Shua ben Chananya describes how he was outsmarted by a woman, a young boy, and a young girl, and then at the very end of the daf, which we're most likely not going to get to, we have the two stories of Bruria, the wife of Rabbi Meir, that showed how smart she was, things that she had to teach us. So let's see the beginning of the parak. Ketzad ma'aber nesa'arim. How are they ma'aber cities? How can we extend the boundary of a city? So Miri points out, ma'abrin implies that we're doing something, but it's really not a question of how do we do something to extend the boundaries of the city. What we're asking is, what kinds of structures would suffice to be considered an extension of the city? Something that's beyond the city limits, but it's sort of like a Beis Dira, that it would therefore be continued an extension of the city, so that we can measure Tchum Shabbos from there, and not from where the majority of the city ends. So bayis nichnas bayis yotze, if you have a house that extends outside of the regular borders of the city, or pagum nichnas pagum yotze, you have a tower in a wall, like the round towers, Rashi says, that are in the walls of the city. So that also will extend the border of the city. Hayusham gedudios gavos asar tvachim, if there were ruins that were 10 tvachim tall, gusharim, bridges where people live, in fashal sheyesh ben beis dira, or cemeteries that have bridges or cemeteries that have a beis dira in them. So all of those things will extend the city limits. Motzinas amida kenegdan va'osnos akamin tavlam ruvas. When we try to figure out the border of the city, so we draw the border of the city along where those those places are, and then we square it off. Kadeshe niskar says zavios, and squaring it off benefits us in that we then get the corners. It's not just a circle of 2,000 amos around those areas, it's a square, so then you get the corners, the additional space that the corners provide by making a square instead of a circle. So now, that was all the halacha we're going to have in today's daf. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel, what's the second word of this parak? Is it Ketzad ma'abrin with an ayin, or Ketzad ma'avrin with an aleph? Rav Shmuel, chatani ma'abrin v'chatani ma'avrin. So one says it with an ayin, one says with an aleph. Doesn't say who says what. Mandatani ma'avrin aver aver. The one that says it with an aleph assumes it's like a lashon of a limb, that just like our limbs extend outside of our bodies, we could stretch our limbs out, we could stretch our arms and fingers out. So too, this stretches the city a little bit. Mandatani ma'abrin ki isha ubara. And the one that says ma'abrin with an ayin says, just like a pregnant woman's belly sticks out a little bit, so too the border of the city sticks out. Yerushalmi Maseches Brachos, and over here says that Rav is the one that says ma'abrin lashon ever with an aleph. Shmuel is the one that says it with an ayin. In the Torah Chaim, he tries to find in all four of the machloksim we're going to have today about language, about how to spell certain words. Torah Chaim tries to find a nafkamina ladina between them. So he says, what's the nafkamina ladina between Rav and Shmuel in this machlokas? We're going to have a gemara in a couple of days from now on daf nun hey amid beis, where Rav Huna says that yoshei tsrifin ein modelan el pesach batehen. People who live in huts, we measure from the doorway of their homes. And Rashi explains that since they're made out of leaves, they're not kavua, and even if there are a lot of them in one place, we don't consider that a city. Each person has to measure 2,000 amos from his own little hut. It's not considered a city of huts. Something that's so temporary doesn't have a din of a city. So he says, what about when it comes to Ibur Ha'ir, if you have a hut beyond the city limits, does that extend when there already is a city of real houses, but then there's a hut that's a tzrif, it's made out of reeds, it's a temporary kind of structure that's beyond the city limit, will that extend the city? So he says it could be that's the nafkamin in the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. The difference between a pregnant woman, the protrusion from a pregnant woman's body and the protrusion of our limbs from our bodies is that limbs hopefully are there permanently. They're meant to be there forever, where until the person dies. Whereas a pregnant woman's protruding belly is not meant to be there for more than 9.5 months at the most. It doesn't stay there permanently. So whether we consider something that's a temporary structure to be an extension of the city may be totally in whether you say ma'abrin with an ayin or ma'abrin with an aleph. So that's how Taras Chaim suggests nafkamina. Weiter, next discussion about wording. Ma'aras ha-machpela. So Ma'aras ha-machpela, when we use that expression, so what does it mean, machpela? What's doubled? So Rav Shmuel Charam Rashnei Batim Zelefnim Izeh. One says it's like two rooms, one inside the other. V'charam Rabayis Vali Al Gabav, that it's built as a two-story structure, one below, one on top. So Bishlam Nanyam Rizal Gav Zeh Hainu Machpela. Well, machpela makes sense when you're describing something that's one on top of the other. El Nanyam Rashnei Batim Zelefnim Izeh My Machpela. But if it's two houses, one inside of the other, why is that machpela? Rashi explains that such a lashon machpela is not appropriate to describe two things that are one inside of the other. It's only an appropriate language to use to describe things that are on top of each other. So what is doubled about it if it's zelif nimizeh? It has all of the couples that are buried there. The various zugos, the various important couples of Jewish history that are buried there, that's the machpela. Marsha just raised the question, if the word machpela doesn't mean zelif nimizeh, so how does that shita know that there was zelif nimizeh? Meaning machpela means kfula bezugos. Right? So where does he get the idea that there were two rooms? Maybe it was just one room. How does he know Zelef Nemizeh? So the Marsha says that must be Kabbalah Merabosov. He must have had such a Masorah that is Zelef Nemizeh. Originally the Gemara thought that's the Taitch of Machpela. The Gemara says, no, my Machpela, that doesn't fit the word Machpela. Machpela must refer to something else. And this is Stama Kabbalah. But in the Taras Chaim he says that no, maybe when the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it means Kfula Bezugos, it's being Chozer on what it said originally, that it's Zelef Nemizeh. Maybe it's saying that it's not Zelef Nemizeh. And he even quotes the Re'im has such a girs in the Gemara, Ella Shekfula Bezugos. Not just Shekfula Bezugos, but Ella. Ella always implies that we're going back on something that we had previously said, and we're changing our minds. So we're saying that it's not Zelef Nemizeh. Mamre Kiryas Arba, Vaita in the Gemara, Amra Bitzel Kiryas Ha'Arba Zugos. It's called Kiryas Arba because it's the place of the Arba Zugos. Who are the Arba Zugos? Adam Chava, Avram, Sarah, Yitzchak, Verivka, Yaakov, Aleya. So those are the Dalit Zugos. The Marsha just points out that in the Torah, the place is called Kiryas Arba in two different places. Once by Sarah's death, Vatama Sarah be Kiryas Arba, hi Chavron, and the second time is by Yaakov. It says, Vayavo, Yaakov, Yitzchak, Aviv, Mamre, Kiryas Ha'arba, hi Chavron. Rashi on Chumash quotes this drosh of the Arba Zugos when it's by Misa Sarah, and that's where it is in the Medrash as well. But you'll notice the Gemara quotes the pasuk Mamre Kiryas Arba by the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu, not the pasuk by Sarah. So I asked Marsha, why? Why does the Gemara quote it by the later pasuk? The word Kiryas Arba comes up earlier in Chumash. So he says the reason it doesn't darshan it by Misa Sarah is because over there there's no hechrich that Arba relates to Arba Zugos. One could have explained that it's Kiryas Ish Sheshmo Arba, that it's a city that belongs to a guy named Arba, and he was the Avia Anakim, he was a giant that the Pasuk in Yoshua describes. V'shem Chevron Lifnim Kiryas Arba Ha'adam Agadol Ba'anakim. The Pasuk in Yoshua describes a man, Arba, who is the Gadol Ba'anakim. So from it, it also says in Yoshua, Kiryas Arba Avi Anak, Hi Chevron. So when it's talking about by Sarah, you could have easily said that Kiryas Arba doesn't mean Arba Zugos. It's talking about this man named Arba. But notice how it says by Yaakov. It says Kiryas Ha'arba, even though we misquoted a little bit over here in the Gemara, that's the actual words in the pasuk are Mamre Kiryas Ha Arba with a Hey Hayadia. So that can't be the name of a person. Arba was the person's name. It wouldn't be Ha Arba. You would never have a Hey Hayadia on the Shema Etzem. And that's why we darshan that Ha Arba must be the four, the big four people, or couples rather, that are there. And that's why the Gemara quotes the Drasha over here. Once we quote it over here, so then Rashi and Chumash will quote it by the first place that it appears in Chumash. Okay, says the Gemara, Vayibi Amraphel. So another language discussion. The Pasuk says it was in the days of Amraphel. What was his real name? Rav Shmuel Chadam or Nimrod Shmuel Velomenik or Shmuel Amraphel. Sha'amar Vihipel Avram Avinu Besof Kivshana Eish. That really his name was Nimrod. We assume Amraphel and Nimrod are the same person. Why? Where did he get the name Amraphel? Because he's the one that came up with the idea of being Mapil Avram into a Kivshana Eish. Vechadam or Amraphel Shmuel Velomenik or Shmuel Nimrod. No, his real name is Amraphel. Why do they call him Nimrod? That he caused the entire world to rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam, so that's why he was called called Nimrod. The Sefer Lishma B'Limudim suggests that what's the machlokas over here? Maybe the machlokas is which kind of avera is worse, Ben Adam L'Makom or Ben Adam L'Chaveros. The one who says I'm Raphael is his name, but the Torah calls him Nimrod, holds that Ben Adam L'Makom was more chamer, and therefore even though his name was I'm Raphael, the Torah is mefarsim him with the name Nimrod. To emphasize that klapei amakom, he was himrid as kol olam against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The one that says his name was Nimrod, and the Torah his name was Nimrod, and the Torah calls him Amraphel, holds that ben adam lechaveru was more chamor, and therefore we call him Amraphel because he was mapil avram lekivshana eish, and we're emphasizing the more chamor of the two dinim. There is a discussion this machlokas between what his real name was. Taras Chaim says no. So what's the nafkamina la'alacha? Every single one of these machlokes, you have to have a nafkamina la'alacha. So he said, nafkamina la'alacha might be the Gemara in Yuma, Taflam Chesam Bey says that there's only one halacha. The Gemara doesn't call it there's only one halacha, but it's the only halacha I know of in Shas about how to name a child. There's a lot of minhagim about naming a child. The father's side first, mother's side first, two names, one name, a lot of minhagim. There's only one halacha. The halacha is that you're not shame rishayim yirkav. You're not allowed to name a child after a rasha. So which name is off limits? Which name are we not allowed to use? Are we not allowed to use Nimrod, or are we not allowed to use Amraphel? It depends which one was the real name. So if you hold that Nimrod was the real name, Amraphel is just a nickname, you want to call your kid Amraphel, knock yourself out. Call your kid Amraphel. If you hold that Amraphel is the real name and Nimrod was just a nickname, so you can call your kid Nimrod. But in the Sefer Meleches HaKodesh, she asked the Kashi, he says, wait a second, Shlomo Melech had a daughter, and he called her Basmas. Basmas was the name of the daughter of Yishmael and the wife of Esav, and the reason she was called Basmas was that she was Makdir Besamim La'avodah Zarah. So she was obviously not a good person. How could Shlomo Melech violate this halacha and call his own daughter Basmas? So he's Mitarit, Sefer Melech's HaKodesh is a phenomenal chiddush, that the fact that we don't call Shem Rishayim is Dafka Mizera Yisrael, that where you have a Rasha that's a Jew. But a guy, it's not a problem to call the name of a Rasha that's a guy. It's Ka'ayin ve'efes, Kibahemoch Sindhu. We're not Goreis the whole thing. We pretend that they didn't exist, and therefore it's like a brand new name. It's not called that you're naming after the guy. So if that were the case, then this would not be enough Kamina. Nimrod, Amraphel, whoever he was not a Jew. And therefore there should not be a problem using that name. But in the Sefer Yafal Lev, he asks on this Melech Sakodesh, says, not Mistaver, that a shame of a Rasha guy we're allowed to call. Because Rishei Umos HaOlam have to be worse than Rishei Yisrael. Rishei Yisrael are nolad b'kashrus. They have a holy neshama tahora that they're born with. Afilu Rekanim Shabachar Melei Mitzvos Karimon, the Gemara says, even the most empty of Klal Yisrael are full of mitzvos like a Rimon, as opposed to the Rishei Umos, where we don't have all these nice things to say about them. So says the Yafal Alev that you have to say the fact that Shlomo called his daughter Basmas is because there's another chiluk over here. The shame Rishon that you're not allowed to use is when the name is not a pleasant, sweet, nice name. If the name happens to be a good, positive, sweet, nice name that the Russia managed to corrupt anyhow, so you're allowed to use that name. The Raya is, he doesn't quote it, but the Raya is, that's how some of the Rishonim deal with, how could we have a Tana, a holy Tana, Rabbi Yishmael? Presumably his parents raised it. You say, so what's the kashe? He didn't pick his own name. Okay, but his parents, Mustama, raised him, right? His parents were Mustama, decent people. So how did they name their kid Yishmael? Who names their kid Yishmael? No, but the Medrash says Yishmael was a beautiful name. It relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu listening. It's a wonderful, wonderful name. Yishmael Shmuel was such a rasha, he managed to mess it up anyhow. But when the name itself is a beautiful name, so then you could use the name. Not only that, the Tshuva Sma Bit writes that even it's Adam Tzaddik, who's a guy, you shouldn't use such a name. Even the and he goes even a step further. The Mabit has a phenomenal chiddush. He says anyone who lived before Avram Avinu, Adam, Noach, Shem, Yefes, shouldn't use any of those names, even though they were tzaddikim. You can't be kari b'shem anyone who wasn't shomer haTorah kula, and we only begin our names from people who are shomer Torah kula. Avram Avinu was shomer the kala Torah ad shelo nitna. That's where we start our names. But a lot of the poskim disagree with that you're not allowed to call. We find Tanayim also. Rabbi Yefes, Akavya ben Malalel is called. These are all names that came before Avram Avinu. So you, my brother. His name is Noach Yefes. He has both names from before Matan Torah. So you have people who have names from before Matan Torah. We wonder for us. We never heard of someone named Yefes, but there's a Tana. There's a Tana, Rabbi Yefes. Okay, so it's apparently been used by Jews in the past. Okay, the in Chashuk Echemed he has a discussion about a guy who was doing the Kriya Shem at a bris. A lot of times it's a very easy job doing Kriya Shem at a bris. You read the paragraph, you lean over, listen to the father tell you the name, or he'll hand you a piece of paper if he's prepared. He'll hand you a piece of paper with the name on it. A guy was doing Kriya Shem at a bris, and the father wrote Nimrod on the paper. So the guy didn't know what to do. Should he call him Nimrod? Should he not call him Nimrod? The father's going to ruin the child's life by calling him Nimrod. So he says probably better to call him Avram. Just change it. Call him Avram. Don't call him Nimrod. You can't saddle a kid with that. Just can't let the father destroy the kid like that. Okay. Vayakam el chadash al Mitzrayim. Pasuk says a new king. Vayakam el chadash al Mitzrayim. So this is a final machlokas. Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel chadam per chadash mamish. Vechadam shenis chachu gzeiros. One says it was mamish, a brand new king. The other one says no, it wasn't a new king. It was a king with new gzeiros. Same king, new gzeiros. Mandiam per chadash mamish tichsev chadash. One that says it was a new king because pasuk says chadash says it was a new king. So sounds like it was a new king. Mandi Amr Shin Schachu Gzeirosav midlok siv Vayamas Vyimloch. The one that says that is Nschachu Gzeirosav is because it doesn't say Vayamas Vyimloch. Mandi Amr Shin it doesn't say that the old king died and a new king took over, so it sounds like it was the same king. Mandi Amr Shin Schachu Gzeirosav Aksiva Shalom Yadas Yosef. If you say it was the same king, how can the Chumash describe that he didn't know Yosef? Why? How could the old king have not known Yosef? So Maya Shalom Yadas Yosef to have a dummy commanded Lo Yadal Yosef Klal, that he pretended, he acted as if he didn't know Yosef at all, as if he had no Akaras HaTov to the man who saved his entire country. All of a sudden, all of that was forgotten, but he wasn't actually a new king. L'may nafkamina in this machlokas, what the definition of chadash is. So says the Taras Chaim, nafkamina over here is, someone says, bayis chadash ani mochalach, in Mecca Chumemker, someone says, I'm going to sell you a new house. What if it's an old house, but it was newly renovated? So is that called a new house, in Mecca Chumemker? So if you say that chadash means chadash mamish, it's got to be new to be new. But if you say that, no, Neschachuk Zerosa, there's some new element to it, that's enough to be called Chadash, so then the Mekach would be Kayim. You wouldn't be able to taina that it's a Mekach Taos. The Sefer Ben Yoyada says, Nafkamina, someone who's Chosem Me'orcha Melchama. Torah says that in Devarim, Parachav, Mia Isha Shebana Bayis Chadash Velo Chanacho, Yelich V'yashuv L'Beiso. When they're going out to war, the Kohen Meshuach Melchama gets up and says, whoever built a Bayis Chadash, and didn't have a chance to consecrate the new house yet. So good, let him go back home. So what if a person just did construction? He just did renovations on his house. So the truth is, this is a Mishnah Mefureshes and Masecha Sota and Perek Meshuach Melchama. In the 8th Perek Sota, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Habona Bayis HaMelchono Lo HaYechozer. And the Rav Bartanur explains, it means that if someone rebuilt his house, he did construction, he does not go back from the war effort. So the Rav in Pirush HaMishnayah says, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. But there's no Cholik over there. It's just Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is the only one quoted in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah Melech says, how would you not pass like Rabbi Yehuda? He's the only Shita there. What do you mean you don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda? So says Ben Yoyada, put two and two together. He's not the only Shita, because in our Gemara there's Machlokas, what Chadash is. Abona Bayis Chadash is Pater. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's not called Chadash. You're not Pater Me'orcha HaMelchama. But we maybe say it's Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. And Tanakama is there may not be a Tanakama explicit there that's Cholik, but we do find a Deya that's Cholik, and that's what the Rambam is paskening like, that it is called Chadash, and therefore one is Chozer Me'orcha HaMelchama for a newly reconstructed house. Okay, Simon Shmona Srebishnema Solomanu Badar V'Yavik. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Yurchas Yom Gidalti Yitzel Rabbi Oshia Baribi. For 18 days I grew up by Rabbi Oshia Baribi. Meaning I was in time, it was a time of growth, I was gaining a lot, but I only learned one thing b'Mishnah Seinu from Rabbi Oshia Baribi. What does the name Baribi mean? Rabbi Oshia Baribi. So Rashi says, Adam Gadol B'Dorah V'Kalechi D'Kari Baribi Hachi Pirusho. Always when you have the word Baribi, it's a title, it's not a name. Baribi means that he was a Gadol B'Dorah, that he was the greatest one of his generation. Problem is, there are a few places in Shas where Rashi says otherwise. In Makas Daf Ein Beis, Tana Baribi Omer, says Rashi, Kacha Yishmo, his name was Baribi. Chulin and Beis and Beis. Zitanya, Baribi Omer, Rashi, Shame Chacham, the name of the Chacham is Baribi. So when do we say Baribi is a shame? When do we say that it's not a shame? So Nadav Yehuda writes in the Tshuva and Tinyana, Simon Kuf Yud Gimel and Archaim, that it depends if there's another name associated with it. If it's Rab Oshia Baribi, so chances are Baribi is just a title, because none of the Amoraim had two names. We don't find two names until the times of the Rishonim, and even then, it's very rare. We have a Bala Tosos quoted in a couple places, I think in Maseches Chulin, whose name was Yaakov Yisrael. And even the two names, when we had two names for many, many years, the two names were always associated with each other. There was always a connection between the two names. It's a more recent vintage that we take two names that have nothing to do with each other and put them together. But Tanoim and Amoraim, you never find someone with two names. So how does a guy have a name, Oshia Baribi? So no, Baribi is not his name. But when it's Baribi Omer, it's just Tanya Baribi Omer, it's Tam, just the name Baribi. So then that could be a name. So that is Miyashev. Almost every place in Shas that Rashi says about Baribi. There's one place in Shas where it just says a Baribi, and Rashi says that it's a title and not a proper name, and he doesn't know who they're referring to. But almost every other place in Shas, pretty much every place in Shas, is answered by that approach of the Nodav Yehuda. Okay, so what did he hear from him? What was the one thing he learned from him? Ketzad ma'abar nesa'arim ba'aleph. That when we say ketzad ma'abar nesa'arim, it should be with an aleph, not with an ayin. So, frankly, mara eni v'am rabbi yachon yud beis talmidim ola l'rabbi osher baribi v'yuchas yam gidalti b'nehen v'limadti leiv kolechad v'echad v'chachmas kolechad v'echad. But didn't rabbi yachon say that in his time spent by rabbi osher baribi, he learned from all the different talmidim, the leiv of each talmid, the chachma of each talmid, the leiv, Rashi says, is the koach of his charifus of each one, the sharpness of the mind of each one, the chachma is with the Torah knowledge that each one had. So he learned so much. How could he say he only learned one thing? So Gemara has three answers. Leiv kolechad vechad v'chachmas kolechad vechad gamar, gemara lo gamar. He learned the leiv and the chachma of each and every one, but he didn't learn gemara. Or it could be that he learned from his chaverim. He didn't learn from the Rebbe. He was in Rav Oshia Baribi's yeshiva, and he only learned one thing from the Rosh Yeshiva, but he learned a lot from the chaverim. A lot of people have yeshiva experiences where they can describe that they learned a lot more from pilpul chaverim than they managed to learn from their Rebbe. Or a third possibility is he only learned one thing b'mishnah seinu, one thing about mishnayis, about the proper wording of Mishnayos, that it should be Ma'abrin, how to spell Ma'abrin in a Mishnah. But he learned plenty of other things about plenty of other topics. It was just in the Mishnayos like that. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Kishayinu Lomdin Torah Eitzel Rav Oshia, Hayinu Yoshvin Arba Arba Ba'ama. When we learn Torah Rav Oshia, we would sit four people in one Amma of space. Amar Rabbi, Kshayinu Lomdin Torah Eitzel Rav Lozer Ben Shemua, Hayinu Yoshvin Shisha Shisha Ba'ama. When we learn Torah Rav Lozer Ben Shemua, we would sit six people in an Amma of space. Even better. So the Ben Yoyada says, why by Rav Oshia was the Nes only four people in an Amma, and by Rav Lozer Ben Shemua they were Zocha to a bigger Nes of six people fitting in an Amma? Obviously, it's all a Nes. One person takes up an Amma. So for four people to fit in Amma, six people to fit in Amma, what's the difference? So he says, Rav Oshia, they didn't learn all Shisha Siddharm of Mishnayos. They only learned four Siddharm. We find this, the Gemara B'Metzia, Kuf Yudal and Beis, tells us, Rab Baravua met Eliyahu Anavi in the Beis HaKvaros, and he asked him, what are you doing in the Beis HaKvaros, Eliyahu? You're a Kohen. You don't belong here. So he says, have you learned Taharos? It says in the Braisa, B'Shem Menichai Yomer, Kivrein Shal Nachri, Mein Metamin, is Kever of a Nachri, so it's not Metamin. I'm allowed to be here. So where Rabbi Yavo said to him, you're right, I didn't learn Taros. I just know this halacha that a kohen is not allowed to be in Bisek Faros. But Taros and Zrayim, we're not knowing that are not knowing Bismanazah, we don't really learn. So but in days of Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, they were lomid all Shisha Sadarim. So maybe they were Zocha to, because of their extra melus and all Shisha Sadarim, they were Zocha to a greater nace of having six people fit in a single Amma. This is this idea of having many people fit in a small area is that this is not the only place in Shas that we find such a nes, right? That's how the kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash is described in that way. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that in the Beis Hamikdash, how you omdim tzvufim umeshtachavim revachim, they would stand up and they'd be packed, tightly packed in, and then when there was plenty of room, when it came time to bow down, that was one of the nisim of the Mikdash. There's a beautiful tshuva in the Tashbetz where he describes that the raya that Yerushalayim still has kedusha is look at the amount of Jews that converge upon Yerushalayim even bizman hazeh and in the times of the regalim, and it doesn't feel crowded. Everyone's so happy to be there. It still feels like there's plenty of room for everybody. So that's a remnant of the old kedusha of Yerushalayim. On the flip side, the Chassam Sofer says, "What's the nes of omdim tzvufim mishtachavim revachim?" It's not that mishtachavim revachim that when we would bow down there would be space. Okay, there's always Kodesh Baruch Hu does lots of miracles like that. Omdim tzvufim is the miracle. The fact that if you've ever been in a crowded place, so typically people are pushing each other and they're fighting or whatever. The fact that we were all omed and we were just fine, and even though it was packed, we weren't fighting, no one was pushing ahead. That was the nace. That's a much bigger nace than having extra space, says the Chassam Sofer. It's a sad commentary, but that's what the Chassam Sofer says. Rav Mendel Blachman once spoke at my house a few weeks ago, and he said that he holds the biggest nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ever done is the nes of that, of Omdim Tzvuf Meshachim Ravachim, or of the Aron Eino Min Amida, the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where you measure one side, you measure the other side, and you get a certain measurement, then you measure it with the Aron, and it's the same, that it's Eino Min Amida. Because the other Nisan that we have in history, we could imagine it. We could picture how it happens, even though it's not natural. We could picture water going up instead of continuing to flow. We could at least imagine. But it just boggles the mind. How does that fit? How do you have an Aron that's Eino Min Amida, doesn't take up space? How do you have space that the room didn't get bigger, right? The Beis Hamikdash stayed the same size, but all of a sudden there was more space. That's the greatest miracle. Something that we can't even fathom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Moshe Beribi b'dor k'Rameir b'dor. Rabbi Moshe Beribi in his generation was like Rameir in his generation. Mar Rameir b'dor lo yachul chaver v'lam al sof daito, just like Rameir in his generation. No, he was so smart and so he had such a sharp way of explaining things. No one was able to really understand what he was talking about. So after Rabbi Yoshia, lo yochul chaver v'lam al sof daito. So to Rabbi Yoshia, no one was able to understand. Am Rabbi Yochanan, liban shel rishonim kipisko shel ulam. The hearts of the earlier generations is like a big theater. V'shel achronim kipisko shel heichal. And the hearts of the later generations is more like a smaller room. V'anu kumlo nekav machat sidkis. And us, we're like a little pinhole, is the broadness of our own intelligence, of our own hearts. Rishonim Rabbi Akiva, achronim Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. An example of Rishonim is Rabbi Kiva, Achronim is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Ikadam Riyadah say no, Rishonim Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Achronim Rabbi Elazar ben Ribi. Va'anu kumlom nekev machat sidkis, and we're just like a tiny little pinhole. Amar Abaye va'anan ki sichsu begudel l'gemara. Abaye says that we're like a peg in a tiny hole for Gemara. It's so hard for us to learn. It's like trying to fit a big peg in a tiny hole when you try to fit Torah in our minds. It's a remarkable thing. I was thinking about this concept if you read the Sadoros a little bit. It's a remarkable thing. In every other area of human endeavor, we're getting better and better. In every other area except for Torah. If that's not a raya to the ruchni element of Torah, and that it's not a davar gashmi, I don't know what is. In every intellectual endeavor, we're getting better. There were the hundreds of years ago, they described that if a person were to study, a brilliant person were to study mathematics for 40 years, they would then be able to really understand mathematics. And they didn't even have calculus. They were describing like an 11th grade trig. They weren't even that. And we teach millions of people this. We're making athletically, the Olympic runners are running 10 seconds faster than they did 100 years. It's crazy. We advance in everything except for Torah. You read us Hadoros is something because Torah is a davar ruchni. So we're like when we try to fit Torah in our hearts, it's like a peg in a tiny hole. Amarava Anankiats but also Bikiru the Svara. We're like a finger in wax for trying to fit Svara. I assume it's hard wax where it's hard to fit the finger. Amarava makes a little bit of an impression, but it doesn't really go through. Amaravashi Anankiats but also Bibiru the Shikha. We're like a finger in a bar when it comes to forgetting. A finger in a bar, that's very easy to fit. A bar is massive, a finger is small, very easy to fit a finger in a bar. So that when it comes to forgetting, we have no problem with that. We're very, very good at forgetting. There are other statements that relate to the difference between Doros Rishonim and Doros Achron. We had a Gemara at the end of Shabbos, Daf Kufyud Beis, not at the end of Shabbos, but in Daf Kufyud Beis and Shabbos, that says, Im Rishonim k'bnei malachim, manu k'bnei anashim, Im Rishonim b'nei anashim, anu k'chamorim. So we pointed out, I don't know if we pointed it out then, but it's a strange lashon. Im Rishonim, if they are like this, why doesn't the Gemara just say, Rishonim k'malachim, anu k'bnei adam, Rishonim k'bnei adam, anu k'chamorim. So in the Sefer Emes Yaakov, he says that there are two types of people that are being described. Someone who views the Rishonim like Malachim, that's a Ben Adam. A Ben Adam views Rishonim like Malachim. But someone who thinks that the Rishonim are only like Bnei Adam, so such a person is like a Chamor, meaning it's not a compliment when a person doesn't view Rishonim in the proper light. There's also a fascinating machlokas at the beginning of Yoredeya, the poskim in the Simin Aleph in Yoredeya, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah really, describes, what if you have a Shochet Abodek, you have someone who's the known Shochet in town, and then one day you start talking to him and learning about Hilcha Shechita, and he knows nothing. He doesn't know anything about Shechita. He gets everything wrong. So do you go back and say, but he has a Kabbalah from Gadol Ador from 30 years ago. He got a Kabbalah. So what do you assume about his previous Shechitas in the last 30 years? Do we have to go back and trafe everything up? So some of the Achronim say, well, he didn't forget everything in one day, so at least for a few days, a few weeks, it probably took some time for him to forget everything. And others say, no. They argue about how Shechicha works. Does Shechicha happen in a single moment? This machlok is Taz and the Bach, and the Teva of Shechicha. What's the nature of how people forget things? Taz writes, Shechicha Salachos happens ma'at ma'at, happens little by little, whereas the Bach says, no, it happens all at one shot. People forget everything at one shot. The Bach says, if you're very smart, it happens little by little. Someone who's very smart has an excellent memory, so if he doesn't chazer over, he'll forget little by little, but he'll basically remember. If you're not very smart, you learn a Daf Gemara, and then an hour later, what did you learn? Nothing. It's all gone. Like there's a zero left. It happens immediately if a person is not doesn't have an excellent memory. It could all happen at one time. So this is okay about Shechicha. Says Gemara Vayter. Am Rav Yudam Rav. Bnei Yehuda shekpidu al lashonim niskayim atarasam biyadam. The Bnei Yehuda who are careful about the obviously there are ways to prevent Shechicha. Right? There are a couple of ways to prevent Shechicha. One is Chazara. That's the most important way to prevent Shechicha. The other way to prevent Shechicha is the Achronim point out being Mechadesh. The Chassam Sof writes, if a person is a Mechadesh, so when you come up with your own Chiddush in something, you don't forget what the Chiddush was on. You'll always remember what the Chiddush was on because it's your own Chiddush. You added something new. So that's a good way to prevent Shechicha if you're able to be Mechadesh. Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Bnei Yehuda shekpidu al lashonim niskayim atarasam biyadam. The Bnei Yehuda who were makbid about the language, so their Torah lasted. Bnei Galil shekpidu al lashonim lo niskayim atarasam biyadam. The Bnei Galil weren't so careful about the way they would describe things in their language, so their Torah didn't last. So says Gemara, Midi b'kafeid d'talya milsa. That's the way it works. You could decide whether your Torah is going to last by being makbid on certain things. So Ela b'nei Yehuda d'daiki lishna u'misnil chul siman and iskayim atarasam biyadan. No, it means that they were very precise in the way they would describe things, and they would give simanim. They would make up mnemonics in order to remember things. So that's why they remembered their Torah. So the Gemara is giving us eitza. How does one remember Torah? Be precise in your definitions of things, meaning don't just have some vague picture where you describe things in vague terms. So everything should have precise definitions. There's one thing that I learned in yeshiva from my rebbeim, who are all talmidim of Soloveitchik, was precise definitions, clarity of defining concepts. And that helps. That helps a great deal in terms of trying to remember things. So that's and simanim is the idea of just making mnemonics. Bnei Galil, the lodaiki lishna, the moschulu simana, lo niskayim atarasam biyadam. Bnei Yehuda, gomru michad rabba, niskayim atarasam biyadam. The Bnei Yehuda all learned from one rebbe. They would always learn from one rebbe, so their Torah was niskayim biyadam. Bnei Galil, the lo gomru michad rabba, lo niskayim atarasam biyadam. The Bnei Galil were always running from one rebbe to the next rebbe. They didn't learn from one rebbe, so the Torah was not niskayim. Sky and biyadam. Asks Tosos, is that really true? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, "Kol lomi Torah lefnei Rav Echad, einu rasim bracha liolam." If you only have one Rebbe, then you're never going to see a sim and bracha. So it sounds like learning from one Rebbe is not a good thing. So why are we saying that learning from one Rebbe, from only one Rebbe, is a good thing? So Tosos says it depends what you're learning. The Gemara, if you're learning just what it says, so one Rebbe is better, so that you could have one straight girsa in terms of what it says. But the Svara, you're learning how to analyze, so it's a good idea to get to different drachim, different modes, different ways to analyze things, not to only know of one way to analyze something. Others, some of the Achronim suggest, no, maybe there's another chilik. Maybe it depends how frequently you're switching up rabbis. Maybe Rav Echad means for a given tkufa of time, person should dedicate himself to learning from one rabbi over an extended period of time. Once he gets it, he understands that rabbi's way of learning and he's able to apply it in his own learning, so then he can go on and learn from another rabbi. As opposed to, so in yeshiva, there were always guys that were running, jumping from this year to that year to that year to that year, and what did they get in the end? They know the drachim and the styles of all the different rabbis. No, they have a vague picture of what every rabbi does, but they never really got anything got anything of a style in learning from a given rabbi. For a tkufa of time, a person's in yeshiva for 5 years, whatever. So stick by one rabbi for that tkufa, and then you're living in a community, and there's a rabbi there that knows how to say shiur. So you stick with that rabbi. So you stick over a tkufa of time with a given rabbi. That seems to make a lot of sense. Also, Ravina Amar Bnei Yehuda deGalu Masecht and Eskayim Torasim Biyadam. The Bnei Yehuda, who are galu masechta, Rashi says it means they taught. They didn't just learn. They would say it over to other people, so that allowed them to retain their Torah. There's nothing that keeps Torah that allows Torah to be retained like teaching it to other people. B'nei Galil, the lo galu masechta lo niskayim Torah miyadam. But B'nei Galil didn't say it over, and therefore they were not miskayim Torah biyadam. David galu masechta, I see this in yeshiva all the time. When I have the Talmidim give shiurim, I have them prepare a shiur. So that learning, those 2 weeks of learning of the shiur that they prepared, they'll know better than everything they learned throughout the entire years of high school. Because when you teach, it makes it much more something that you remember much better. David gali mesechta, Shaul lo gali mesechta. David would teach others, Shaul would not. This is all first lesson Rashi. Rashi has another explanation what gali mesechta means. Let's stick with this. David gali mesechta k'siv bei yirecha yiruni v'yismuchu. Shaul de lo gali mesechta k'siv bei asha yifna yarshia. So David is described in very positive terms. Shaul not so much. Remember Rabbi Yochanan, minayin shemachla akarish baruch haloso avon. How do we know that Hashem forgave him for that sin? We're talking about Shaul now. For that sin, what was that sin? Says Rashi, avon de no viera kohanim, wiping out an entire city of kohanim, of no viera kohanim, because he thought that they were covering for David when David was escaping from him. So how do I know that Shaul was forgiven for that sin? Where does David describe the experience of Nov? It's an easy way to remember. In Tehillim, Perek Nun Beis, Perek Nov. David describes the story with Nov. Shnema Machar Ato Banecha Yimi, Ato Banecha Yimi. When Shaul calls up the spirit of Shmuel, when he's not sure about the upcoming battle, so Shmuel tells him, and Shaul had no choice. He couldn't go to the Urim V'Tumim. Urim V'Tumim wasn't answering, because that's what happens when you kill out a city of Kohanim. You know, the Urim V'Tumim is not going to be so excited about it. So he went to call up the spirit of Shmuel, and the spirit of Shmuel tells him, tomorrow, I'll see you tomorrow, right? You're going to be here tomorrow, meaning you're not going to survive the day, but you're going to be imi. What does he mean? Imi b'mechitzasi. Not just that you're going to be dead, but that you're going to be in the Olam Emes, in Olam Haba, so you're going to be forgiven. Amar Rabbi Abba, i'ika d'mashalu l'bnei Yehuda d'daiki lishni ma'abrin tanan, o ma'abrin tanan. So Rabbi Abba says, if a person were to ask the Bnei Yehuda, who are very precise in language, whether it's ma'abrin or with an aleph or with an ayin, achozatanan or achozatanan, with an aleph or an ayin, yadi, they would know, because they're so careful about their language. So we asked them and they said, yeah, there are two shitos. There's ma'abrin with an aleph, with an ayin, okay. Ikatani achozu, ikatani achozu. B'nei Yehuda daik l'shamayhi. What's an example of how B'nei Yehuda are so medaik in the Lashon? Tahu bar Yehuda d'amr lu talis yeshi l'mukar. There was a ben Yehuda who had a talis to sell. Amr lay, my gavan dit talischa. What color is the talis? And listen to how he describes a color. The description is so precise. Amr lu kitardin ale adama. It's like beets on dirt. Meaning the precision of the color. It doesn't say brownish. He says a precise color. Or brownish-reddish. B'nei Galil d'lo daik l'shamayhi. What's an example of B'nai Galil not being so precise in describing things? Du'bar Galila davakazil va'amr luhu, amr leman, amr leman, amr leman. And he was going around saying, who wants Amar? Who wants Amar? So they know what he was talking about. Amr le Galila shota, you stupid Galilean. Chamar lemirkov or chamar lemishti? When you say Amar, are you saying chamar like a donkey to ride on, or are you talking about wine to drink? Amar lemilbash, or maybe you're saying wool to wear. O amar leiskasa, or maybe you're talking about a sheep to shecht. I don't know why you thought the word can mean so many different things. It's so nondescript. Hayi itza debayi lememer lechaverta toyi do chle chalba. A woman wanted to say to her friend, come and we'll eat chalev. Amr la shaloch di tochlich lavi. And instead what she said is that a lion should eat you. Meaning she said it all wrong, and it came out all wrong. She wasn't able to express herself. Hayitzadasi l'kameh di dayna. A woman came in front of a dayan. Amr lei, mari kiri. She said, my servant, Tifla Havisli, I have a board, and she was saying all the wrong things. She wasn't trying to say this. She was trying to say, my master, I have an expensive thing, a beam, and she ended up saying, I have a nothing, a little board. V'ganvuch min, and you were stolen. She was trying to say it was stolen from her. V'kadu havas the kadshadu lachi lave lo mati kari cha'ara. And she wanted to describe how long it was. She said that if you were hanged on it, your feet would be hanging from the ground, would be hanging off the ground, which is no way to talk to a judge. It's not a way to express yourself. But she couldn't express herself properly. Amasa debe Rebbe kev mishtoi b'lashon chachma amra hachi. The Amasa debe Rebbe always knew how to say things in a lashon chachma. So she would say the following. She wanted to say, she would say, alas, it's a name of a certain kli, that they would fill up wine from a barrel. Nikfas pekad is knocking on the bottom of the barrel, meaning the wine in the barrel is already ready to be taken out. Yidun Yisrael l'kinehon. So the birds should fly to their nests, meaning let the Talmidim go home, because everything's done over here. O yadi basar chaverta. Chaverta mina. That's the other girsa that some have in the Gemara over there. Okay. Zimnin amrla and some the kada. I'm sorry. The kada by the lisvun have amrla whom when they would want to sit down when they would want to sit in the house, she would say to them, Yadi baser chaverta mina. You have to take the new barrel out of here. V'titkavi alas bekad, and through that the kli that's called an alas will float in the barrel, kilfa da asla biyama, like a boat that floats on the sea. Meaning, once you fill up the new barrel and it's full, so the kli will float on top of the old barrel, and it's not gonna bang down on the bottom of it. Rabbi Yossi bar Asyan kavam ishtai b'loshon chachma. When Rabbi Yossi bar Asyan wanted to say something in a way that other people wouldn't understand, so he would speak in code. Loshon chachma over here means speaking in code. Amar asu. Shor mishpat b'tor miskan. So shor is a tor, is a mountain. Mishpat is a din. So we would say shor mishpat tardin. That was a way of saying beats. So that was the chachma that he would use. Kadav shol b'ushpizo, when he would ask people around for a place to stay. Amar hachi, he would say gvar pum din chai. Gvar is ish. Pum is P, is mouth. Din is Ze, Dain, Ze. Chai is Chai, living. So it turned out that he said, Gvar Pum Din Chai is Ushpizichni, meaning a place to stay. Mazu Tova Yesh, is it a good place to stay or not? Rabbi Avo, Kev Mishtai B'Lashon Chachman, Rabbi Avo would speak in code, Havamar Hachi, Asriga L'Buchamin, burn the coals until they become red like an estrog. Arkiel L'Zahavin, take the shovel that takes the gold so that we could warm up vasli shnei megidi ba'alta and prepare two types of chicken, two types of bird meat that are known by these things. Ikeda amri v'yasli bahem shnei megidi ba'alta. Some say he would say make with the pchamin two types of megidi ba'alta. Megidi ba'alta are tarnagolim that would crow. Amar le rabbanan. The rabbanan would say the Rabbi Avo hatspinenu hechon Rabbi Loi tzafun. They didn't know where Rabbi Loi was. They said find us where Rabbi Loi is. Amar ahead. So he said, Allah Tbinara Choranus Achoranus, he runs Vinirato. He's being Mesameach with a Nara Achoranus. He wasn't able to sleep, and therefore right now he's sleeping. Meaning, previously he wasn't able to sleep, so right now he's sleeping. So Amrila, some say that what he said to them is, what he meant was Isha, that he was being Mesameach with an Isha, but he was just trying to speak in a language that is a little more of a nucky language. They say no, he was busy up all night learning, and that's why he's tired now. Some said, the Talmidim said to Rabbi Lai, show us where Rabbi Avo is, and Rabbi Lai said that Rabbi Avo is nisya'itz b'machdir, he's being notal rishus from the Nasi to do something, and v'hingiv, He therefore went to the Negev. He went to the south, Mephibosheth, to sit in front of the Ziknei Dorum that were very, very wise men. So the Gemara ends with a few stories. No one ever outsmarted me except for a woman, a tinok, and a tinokes. Isha Mai, what story where a woman outsmarted him? She made me beans on the first day and I finished all of them. Second day I finished all of them. The third day she messed up, they didn't taste good, so I didn't eat them. So she said, why aren't you eating? I'm not so hungry. You shouldn't have eaten so much bread. Maybe you didn't leave over from the first couple of portions you got, and that's why you're not so hungry. You're always supposed to leave over a little bit on your plate, and you didn't do that. Tinokos Mai, so that's how the woman outsmarted him. Tinokos Mai, he had a young girl outsmarted him. Pamach, Zisi Malik, Bederach, Vaisa, Derach, Averis, Besada, Vizi Mahalik, but there was a path going through a field and I went right through it. Armeli Tinokos Achas, Rebbe, Lo Sadi Hizu. And the girl said to me, isn't this a field? How could you walk right through it? Amarti Lo, Lo Derach, Kavushi. So I said, there's a path. Armeli, Listam Kamoska, Kavshua. Yeah, because Ganovim like you walked right through it. Tinok Mai, he had a child, a boy outsmarted him. Pamach, Zisi Malik, Bederach, Vizi, Tinok, Yosha, approached his Drachma, Marti Lo, Beza, Derach, Nelik, Lear. I asked him what the quickest way to the city is. Amrli zukatzar varucha, vizur arucha v'ktzara. This way is short and long. The other way is long and short. Va'alakti b'ktzar varucha. I went in the way that was short and long. Kibbutz shegati lir matzasi shmer kibbutz aginos pradesin. So it was a very direct route, but then it took you right into ginos pradesin that you couldn't walk through. So chazarti lachari amarti lo bani alo amarti li ktzara. You told me there was a short route. Amrli lo amarti lucha arucha. Didn't I tell you it was also a long route? So neshakti val rosha v'amarti lo ashrechem yisrael shalkuchem cham gadol matem migdolchem erkatanchem eser ashrechem yisrael. Look how even the youngest amongst you are so brilliant. Okay, stop there.